Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very senior professional from Pune, India, Mr. Nasir Sheikh. Nasir, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh, and it's both a pleasure and honor to be on the platform and chat with you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Nasir is the Group Chief Executive Officer of the Lexicon Group of Institutes. He's also a conflict and life coach. So Nasir, before we start speaking about Lexicon, tell me in brief your own journey.
I will. So Ashutosh, I come from a lower middle class family where my mother and father had one very simple goal. Is that both their kids, that's my younger brother Wahab and me, go to the best school in Mumbai. So I originally am from Mumbai, and the school's Campion, and she wanted us both to go there and did everything possible from pawning her jewelry to, you know, ensuring that anything and everything that's required for us is done. Starting from a one-room kitchen, the education was the key out there. Grew up. Dad was an engineer. He was with Mascon Docks. Things started getting better as time went by. In a way, I always looked at the way he built ships and the contribution he was making to the nation. So I wanted to become an engineer. You call it bias or whatever it be. And I ended up doing aeronautical engineering, which is the aircraft maintenance engineering at the Aeronautical Training Center, India. Into it, while finishing it, I realized engineering is not what I want to do and realized that my real calling sits in hospitality. And that's where I restarted both education and my journey in hospitality and grew from the role of an assistant manager to a general manager in Marriott International. My last assignment being with the Western Pune Koregaon Park, and was also the chairman for the Marriott India Business Council. Mum was a teacher and a principal. So I guess education was a calling at some point, somewhere, someplace. And that's how I landed up in this role that I am today with the Lexicon Group of Institutes. And yeah, it's been a beautiful journey. I have to thank my parents for everything. Both my younger brother and I do extremely well. If there is one regret, is that they passed away too early not to see the results of what they had,
the fruits of their success, or all their hard work. Wonderful, wonderful. And you know, it is so amazing. Everyone I speak to in India just says how much focus their parents put on education, and you are just reinforcing that. And you know, just says so much about our values. But Nasir, now moving to the Lexicon Group. Tell me a little bit about the work that you do and how do you run this institution differently from so many others?
So in my role as a group CEO, you know, I look after the Lexicon Group of Institutes. We've got a chain of gyms called MultiFit and an edtech platform called EduCrack. When we look at Lexicon Group of Institutes, you know, we've got all the way from nursery to post-graduation. So we've got multiple preschools called Lexicon Kids, primarily based in Pune. We've got Lexicon Rainbow, which is a school for special needs children, you know, helping them integrate and, you know, working with them on different aspects to ensure that they're not isolated in any way. And then our CBSE schools are based out of Wagholi, Hadapsar, and Kalyani Nagar. These are all the way till grade 12. Then we recently launched the Lexicon Institute of Hotel Management. And we've got Lexicon Mile that does PGDM and Global MBA. My thought process and thought process of the trustees, you know, there's synergy out there where there are a few things that the student comes first. So, you know, in our schools, we focus a lot on multiple intelligences. So, you know, we are not just focusing on academics. We are focusing on what the child is good at and enhancing and supporting the child in their journey. Multiple elements that happen out there, programs like Caterpillar to Butterfly. This helps children, you know, to kind of blossom from, you know, coming on stage, you know, expressing themselves, and learning, doing research, having a curious mindset, which then sets up a research program that sits for them. Similarly, a lot of focus on sports, extracurricular activities. Our
Right.
children are winning awards across. But most importantly for us is instilling a mindset of belief in yourself. You know, from early childhood, we try to eliminate self-doubt. The whole teaching fraternity that we have, the faculty that we have, we work very closely that the child, you should not do anything that makes the child feel inferior or where you're putting a doubt. You know, because every child will have their own key wins, areas of strengths. You work with the child out there. So there's a lot of emphasis and focus that goes in training the teachers, you know, auditing it, being there, interaction with the students, and being present with the students. You know, be it C2Bs, be it the concerts, you know, be it the research presentations. I personally also try and spend time out there, you know, be there, congratulate the students. You know, the other day I had a moment where I was parking my car and I had a young boy, I think he's in the sixth standard, come running across to me saying, "Sir, I go to your school." And, you know, there was a big smile on his face. And, you know, the sense of pride when you see a happy child studying with you is just phenomenal. And as we kind of move up the classes, it's about, you know, creating either a channel for them to become day zero professionals. So the curriculum is very linked to what the industry has and what's required out there, or setting them in them the element of being entrepreneurs. So the entrepreneurship module starts as early as class one, where we have both financial literacy programs for them and programs which enhances them to come and showcase their entrepreneurial skills. So, you know, we have a place where, you know, where the kids bring in different produce, different products on a platform and are able to make sales of that. Like second IHM that we built, actually we built with, you know, being a hotelier, one of the biggest gaps that I saw was, you know, the curriculums were not industry ready. So we created the institute by tying up with Marriott, Accor. We've got Hyatt coming up soon. We've got a confirmation from them, that's hence mentioning their name. We've got Sarovar Hotels and Resorts. I'm stepping into Delhi tomorrow for a conversation for with an airline to get them on board. So the curriculum is kind of based completely with the industry requirements, and hence we actually call the hotel school by the hoteliers, for the hoteliers, with me being there, Gurmeet being there, and all the other members that are there. And Lexicon Mile is critically focused on, you know, ensuring again a believe in yourself mindset, industry relevant experience, and getting them ready. You know, because our audience, our students come from Pan India. Some of them are first generation learners, and it is important that you instill not only that belief, but also show them success. You know, one of my students who ended up joining with the group and works with us from his village in Gujarat, he's the first person to do an MBA. And, you know, his story kind of, again, these are moments that make what you do worth it. So our efforts always been about, you know, that even if you can make a difference in one person's life, you know that you've achieved something. And the reason my role is so fulfilling is there are times, you know, I'm making a difference in 15,000 lives today. And if I'm able to make a positive difference out there, I know I'm sleeping better. So
Absolutely,
that's what it
absolutely.
is.
And yet, you know, we've all often been told that the Indian education system is a pressure cooker system. And I wanted to ask you, you and I are both from middle class families. India is producing a lot of bright kids, and you can see them performing all over our country, all over the world. Why is this happening? Is it only because of numbers, or is it something right that we are doing in our education?
I think it's a combination of both the education systems and our values and culture. You know, I started off, you know, talking about how my parents' focus was there, and you mentioned how many leaders have spoken about that. You know, what as children, you know, one of the things that most parents will have a conversation is about how they want to give their children what they didn't have. So be it better education, better clothes, a better lifestyle, and that sets in a child an aspirational value to do better. So while our education system has been evolving And it's becoming better over time. And with the new education policy coming in, it's definitely going to become even better. Most important aspect is one, the number of children that are going into the schools. You know, literacy rates are increasing. And if you see that, you know, the literacy rate, if it sits at around 80, it's not because of the new generation learners, it's because more of the elders, you know, who missed school. And that's why it's still lower. But otherwise, we would be in the high 90s. Then our education system, while some part of it may focus a little bit on rote learning, and there's a lot of pressure on children, I think culturally we are brought up to handle pressure well. You know, we see adversity at young age. You know, be it access to food for some children or access to quality technology for them. So adversity is something that we've seen early in life. So as Indians, we kind of turn adversity to advantage.
Correct.
And that really works well for us. So yes, it's a pressure cooker system changing, with a lot of parents realizing it's just not about marks, the new education policy supporting that. But I think that aspiration of making your name, because parents don't focus on you to make money. They say make a legacy for yourself, make a
Correct.
name for yourself. The money will be the byproduct. You know, that sets the right value system. And if you have the right value system, your valuation will always be high.
Fascinating. And yet, conversely, and I would love to get your perspective on this, that most parents in India don't teach children it's okay to fail. It's always first in class, head of the line, do this to get better. And that's a very positive reinforcement of that is given to us by our parents. But nobody has ever taught us it's okay to fail. And this is beginning to manifest itself in behavior patterns, you know. And I actually have a book on failure also. But I'd love to get your thoughts because you deal with some 15,000 kids.
So, you know, one of the things that I've observed is that you have around 20% parents who will not teach their children it's okay to fail. Actually, the bigger chunk are very supportive of their child, right? Because they have seen failure themselves in some form or the other. For me, growing up, you know, one of the things that I value the most, and I wish that period was longer, were my conversations with my mother and dad, you know, where they spoke about their failures. And they didn't try to make it into hero stories. You know, they said, listen, this is a mistake that I made. I'll give you a classic example, although it's not related directly to education. You know, when I was younger, my dad, you know, because he was with the shipbuilding industry, working with the Navy, one of his things was every evening he would, you know, have a drink, have 30 ml of his drink, sit down, chill, talk. So I went to him and I said, you know, Dad, I would like to share a drink with you. So one, he offered me, I was old enough to have it, so he said, sit down. He offered me a drink and he said, see, Nasir, you know, if I didn't drink, this is what I could have done more, you know, focus on my health, focus on this. He says, there's nothing wrong in drinking as long as you have control on it and the choice is yours. And coming from a Muslim family to hear that, you know, was very refreshing.
Absolutely.
He also mentioned the problems that he had because of drinking. And he told me, and same with smoking. He said, but I leave the choice with you. You know, you can learn from my mistakes and do better, or make the same mistake and learn yourself. He said, you will learn. It's just that, is it now or is it later? So, you know, those early conversations really
Yes,
help.
sir.
And I see a lot of those conversations happening between parents and children.
Well said.
You know, I was the other day in a concert for my son. He's 9 years old. And we were talking as parents. And, you know, one of the kids fell down. So obviously there's concern that the mom had, but she went to him and she told him, you know, it's fine to fall down. It's how you get up. And,
Correct.
you know, these simple sentences, I think, will, you know, help, you know, children grow. So there is a mindset change where you
Wonderful.
see failure being talked about. And the good thing about today is the access the children have to social media, the schools, you know, talking about failure and how to work with it. You see that thing changing. And that's one of the things that our focus is with believe in yourself, that you keep on
Fantastic.
instilling, you know, that there will be problems. You're not 100% perfect. We, you know, we will fail at points. But it's how you get up and how you react to the problem is what's going to kind of help you win out there.
Amazing. My next question to you is on the role of government in education. There's very tight control on education and educational institutions. I'd love to get your perspective on the amount of control that is exercised and whether, in your view, there should be more freedom given to educational institutions.
So, you know, there are pros and cons to every policy. But I think this is a more pro approach because it kind of ensures that you're not getting cheated. Right? You know, in India, you rarely hear about children landing up in a university and the university doesn't exist. Very rarely. You know, we had situations in, you know, United States very recently where, you know, you've got a bunch of kids landing there and this. So what the control and the systems do is, you know, we are a large country. Our landscape is much bigger. We've got a mix of both urban and rural. It's very important that the guidelines and the channels are well set. So through the systems that the government has set in, you have guidelines. So there is a minimum viable product available everywhere, every time. Also, you know, with all the technology inputs that the government's given, your degrees are in the DigiLocker, you know, they're coming out of blockchain. So there's a lot of control out there,
right?
Which means that you are getting authentic education. Yes, the quality may be fluctuating from one school to the other, but we have a broad perspective where we know that, you know, there is good things happening. And hence, you see the results, you know. We are the largest exporters of engineers worldwide. You know, we've done phenomenally well. Education is a priority. What the government has now done with the new education policy is giving you that liberty, giving you some more freedom.
Okay.
So it's given you that you can fly out of this cubicle that was there. But these are the boundaries that are there. Right. You know, with more online universities being, online education universities being given permission, allowing you to do multiple courses at one go. So there is a forward-looking approach. You know, there was a recent announcement where you can have industry personnel teaching in MBA colleges and get the tag of a professor. So we are moving forward. I believe that the guidelines that are there are good for us. And it kind of helps you ensure that there's a quality that you're delivering. You know, be it number of students, number of seats. Because the last thing that you want is, you know, given complete freedom, and then we lose the essence that we build the country on.
I agree completely. Well said. So Nasir, now let me move to your other avatar as a conflict and life coach. Tell me a little bit about the work that you do as a conflict and life coach.
So, you know, the pandemic and pre-pandemic, there were always opportunities to learn more. You know, the way you started the brand called You, I wanted to ensure that I'm making a difference. Because in my journey, I was lucky that I had a lot of mentors. I had a lot of support, you know, growing up. You know, I, like I mentioned, I lost my parents early. So, you know, the years that were very, you know, you could go either way. I was lucky that I got good mentors out there. And they kind of helped me chart my journey. So that's when around 6 to 7 years back, I said, you know, I need to give back. So it all started with structured mentoring. And I enjoyed mentoring a lot. And I was very happy that, you know, from the unstructured mentoring I used to do, then structured mentoring. I saw a lot of kids who worked with me as stewards, waiters, growing up to senior leadership roles. And then many of them are general managers today in various hotels. So then I said, you know, why don't I learn more? And that's when I learned about life coaching and leadership coaching through ICF. And started kind of supporting. I do this primarily pro bono, you know, spending time with children, spending time with adults, helping them, you know, mitigate the challenges that they may have, and actually helping them find their own solution. That's because that's the main essence of coaching, that you don't give solutions, right? During the pandemic, I got a chance to learn mediation. So the Maharashtra National Law University launched a two-year master's program for mediation and conflict resolution. A big believer of, you know, learning for life, I enrolled in that. and went through the 2-year program. And then I realized that, conflict is the other piece that we need to kind of work on. And so I added that element of conflict coaching and mediator to my portfolio. What conflict coaching is about is, helping conflicts in workspaces, families, brothers, again, getting them together to listen. Because one of the things that we've lost over a period of time is the ability to communicate and
correct.
Listen. Whilst, technology is at our, fingertips, everything is there, but communication is a challenge. And most conflicts rise out of lack of communication or how you react to the communication you have received because you've not listened well. So it's about, in a way, feeling that I'm making the world a better place. I have a separate social media channel and in both on Facebook, Insta, and YouTube, where I contribute as much as I can as a coach through posts, videos. And as I become older, maybe that's something that I will, chill out more with.
Fascinating. And one more question on coaching. I have time for two more questions. One more question on coaching. And that is that given such an amazing background that you have had, an aeronautical engineer, got into hospitality, now you are in education, building new businesses. How has this background, this rich background you have, supported your coaching philosophy, your style, and your values?
So firstly, thank you so much for the kind words. I feel nice about it. But, it's a journey that is still going. What it does is, it kind of makes, as a coach, one of the things that you have to have is a lot of empathy. And also bring a lot of conversations to a content-based conversation versus context-based conversations. And help the coachee, in a way, find themselves, and they can only do that if they trust you. Now, being in hospitality, one of the biggest things was winning the trust of the customer. And similarly, in education, it's about, having the parents trust you because you're dealing with children's lives.
Correct.
So that, helps you build that rapport with the coachee. The other aspect, coming from where I come from, it's critical that, if I believe I cannot contribute, I'd rather be honest with the individual and say, listen, I'm not equipped to do this. Let me support you by getting a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, who can be better at that. So the value system, and because the intent has never been that coaching is a business, coaching is more I want to do to kind of make a difference. Automatically, you are looking for the best in people and trying to do the best for people and helping them find the best out there. So that really helps. And it's very fulfilling when you know that you've made those differences out there.
Very interesting. And my last question to you, Nasir, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. What would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from your own journey and from our conversation?
I always kind of try to say, it's very difficult to put three things down. But one of my mentors taught me, Nasir, if you want to get things done, note down three steps and tick them out. And so if we have to put it down into an acronym, I would call it PI. P for passion. I think that's something that we really nearly need to drive. I for integrity, that's something, that will really hold you for the long way because it's not, the business you do and what you do out there, but how you do it is equally important. And the last bit is excellence, pursue excellence. Do not settle for mediocrity. And, if you're able to kind of get these three things together, everything else will kind of fall in place out there. So that's, in a way, worked for me.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And if I may just add one element out there, it's a fourth one, but never lose, always stay humble to your roots, stay grounded. Remember the importance of parents in your life. If you are able to respect them and stay committed to those relationships, you'll see things fall in place out there.
How wonderful, how wonderful. And on that note of stay humble and respect your parents, your three lessons of PI, which is passion, integrity, and excellence, Thank you, Nasir, for speaking to me about your own journey, about Lexicon Group, about education in India, and all the great work you're doing as a coach and a mentor. Thank you for speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you very, very much for this opportunity and wishing you the best always. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.